ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, Prashanthi is always the most happening place on the planet. Whether you are in Prashanthi or whether you are experiencing Prashanthi wherever you are. Every day when you step into the holy presence of Sai Kulwant Hall, what that air does to you, what that vibe does to you, what that ambience does to you, is something that each one experiences in the core of their being. Bhagwan may not be physically there now. For 86 years, darshan was a blessing that you got if you just went to Prashanthi Nilayam, if you were sitting in Sai Kulwant Hall. But now, you have to go to Sai Kulwant Hall and at the same time, learn to go within. Only then, darshan happens. But just like a fertile soil is so conducive for the growth of a sapling, the fertile ground of Sai Kulwant Hall, the fertile presence of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, so instantly connect you to the power that is all around. I remember when Bhagwan was there, physically sitting on the stage of Sai Kulwant Hall, there would be devotees sitting 100 meters away, 200 meters away, 300 meters away, and they would be just drowned in their tears. It would be as if something within just gave away. And you ask them, what happened? Why are you crying? And they say, I don't know. I don't know why I'm crying. I just know that I'm feeling better. I'm feeling light. I'm feeling I am at home. And I want to just unburden myself. This is the experience even now. When you sit in Sai Kulwant Hall, when the bhajans are going on and you close your eyes, the picture of Bhagwan dances in the firmament of your mind and your whole being pulsates with the power of his presence. Even if you're not sitting in Prashanthi Nilayam, if you are sitting in your puja room in front of your altar and the bhajans are going on and you transport yourself to the holy hamlet of Prashanthi and you can feel those vibes, you can feel that cleansing power. And that is why Prashanthi is, was and will be all the time, ever, the most happening place on the planet, because it is indeed the most love-charged place of the universe. 86 years it is in this environment. It is this air that lived with the avatar. It is these trees, these sand particles, these birds. It is these beautiful grains of dust which have in them tons and tons of indelible moments with the avatar. And because it is so love charged, the moment you step into this hamlet, you always feel you have stepped into a world which is nothing like you have been before. A world beyond compare. A world so distinct from any other place on the planet. Bhagavan, in his quest that people cultivate these hearts, cultivate such minds, connect to Prashant Nilayam wherever they are, that he traveled extensively in those early years. If you read Satyam Shivam Sundaram, if you read the accounts of Bhagavan's visits to cities and towns of South India, to Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, you will find that Bhagavan has so painstakingly went to every nook and corner of these states. He has gone to village by village, sought out devotees and graced them with mercy. And that is how the devotees who came to Bhagwan in those times, in the 50s and 60s, their faith is so strong, their conviction is so rock solid. They have seen something which is so powerfully etched in their hearts that it is their eternal spring of strength, hope, and faith. And one of the devotees who was so blessed was P. Suryakantamma Garu. I've been sharing with you her story in the last few episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. As I say, she is a beacon of Prashant Nilayam in this series, Beacons of Prashant Nilayam. I've been sharing with you stories of such souls, such stellar souls who lived a life and continue to live a life of absolute supplication at the feet of the Lord. Prashanti is full of them. Prashanti is suffused with the sacrifice, with the selflessness, with the superlative commitment of such sacred souls. And that is why this air is different. That is why every time you step into Prashant Nilayam, you feel you have stepped into a new world. The story of Kantamma Garu, as I told you, goes back to 1960s, early 60s. Shivratri of 1961 is when she had the first darshan of Bhagwan, even though she had heard of Bhagwan in the 50s. And since then, her journey to Bhagwan took various turns. As I told you, at a very early age, she became the sarpanch of her village. Her village called Satyavada. She became a single mother when she was just 17, 18 years old, and her life was dedicated to the devotion of Lord Panduranga as she used to go to the shrine of Lord Panduranga in Andhra Pradesh, in the sacred town of Chilakalapudi. I told you how Bhagavan convinced her of the unity of all divinity. And once she saw her Panduranga in Bhagavan, there was no turning back. The two streams of passion to serve the countrymen, serve the society as the village head, as the district committee member, in those very early years of independent India, when hardly there were any women in government offices. Here was Suryakanta Magaru working hard to provide water, provide roads, provide bridges and provide electricity to her brethren, and at the same time never missing a chance to come and have Bhagwan's darshan, never missing a chance to serve at his lotus feet in Prashantinilayam, never missing the opportunity to dedicate her every spare second in his service. And I told you how Bhagwan took her, blessed her with the opportunity of traveling with him in 1963. And after that historic trip with Bhagwan, when Suryakanta Magaru went to Srisailam, she went to Drunachalam. When she had asked Bhagwan that Swami should come to her place, Swami said, yes, next time when I go to Rajahmundry, I will come to your place. In 1964, the year after that trip to Srisailam, Bhagwan was in Rajahmundry. I narrated to you about how Bhagwan gave her the permission to join this trip, even though she was not starting with all the other team members from Prashantinilayam. Bhagwan blessed Kantamagaru the opportunity to join this group, and it was on 26th of February 1964 when Bhagwan embarked on his beautiful journey to the sacred shrine of Bhadrachalam. In the previous episode, I told you about the motor ride with Bhagwan. For more than a day, Suryakanta Magaru was along with other 50 devotees who were part of this troop, who had the opportunity to travel with Bhagwan on the waters. And how glorious that boat journey was, and how blissful Swami made it by continuously spending time with them, materializing things, giving them vibhuti, giving them prasadam, narrating to them the stories from the scriptures, making scriptures come alive in front of them. And after the boat ride, the last part of the journey to Bhadrachalam was by road. On the 28th of February 1964, Bhagwan was welcomed by the Bhadrachalam temple executives into the sacred shrine. Bhagwan recalled the exalted devotion of Ramadas, who was earlier called Gopanna. Bhagwan cited the glorious instances from the life of this great devotee, how he used his every ounce of energy, resource, time and wealth for the propagation of Shraddha and Bhakti in the hearts of people. Bhagwan told the devotees there, the Lord comes as Maya in order to reveal the forgotten truth that man is essentially divine. Man has ignored his core and he's miserable because he feels he's weak and he's helpless. Man thinks he has no control. Man thinks that he is helpless with the twists and turns of destiny. Man forgets the indomitable strength that is there within him. Bhagwan spoke of the things that man must seek when he goes on pilgrimages to holy places. And what are the things that man should avoid to make best use of such sacred journeys? Shravanam must be followed by mananam, Bhagwan said. As you listen to the name of the Lord, it should be followed by quiet contemplation on the meaning and significance of the wise words and the sacred mantras that one hears. So Bhagwan was there 2 days and two nights in Bhadrachalam. And Suryakanta Magaru recalls how those 2 days were so filled with ecstatic moments. Every morning Bhagwan would be there out for darshan and Swami would be busy giving interviews to groups of people. Achyutaramaya Garu, Nidamurti Satyam Garu, the two devotees who had organized the trip were continuously busy making arrangements for Bhagwan's visit to sacred places in and around Bhadrachalam. But Bhagwan was more busy speaking to devotees, giving them interviews. And there were some moments which were just out of the world. So unexpected, so charming, and something that you will experience only if you go in trips with Bhagwan. Suryakanta Magaru recalls there was one evening when the boats were being readied. Swami walked up to the banks where water was tapering into the sands. And Swami sat on those sands, that silver, golden carpet that nature had placed for him. And Bhagwan sat there facing the river. Gold and silver. There was a cool breeze wafting and Bhagwan was looking at the hills of Godavari. And Suryakanta Magaru says, I have no words to describe how blissful it was to see Bhagwan sitting on those golden sands and just looking at the beautiful peaks of Godavari as nature was playing with his copious hair. It was almost as if creator and creation were together in a beautiful symphony. It reminded her of Krishna. It reminded her of Krishna on the banks of Yamuna. It reminded her of Bhagwan when he had gone to Dwarka and how Bhagwan stopped on the way, went into the sands and sat on those golden sands there and manifested that beautiful statue of Krishna. She was lost in the beauty, sublimity of that scene of seeing Bhagwan on the banks of that river. You could see in Bhagwan that charming Krishna. You could see in Bhagwan that glorious Rama. Sai Rama had come with the magic, the magnificence, and the beauty of Rama and Krishna.
Raghava Raghunandana.
Garu says, I don't know what was special about that spot, but Swami was just so happy to sit there. Swami sanctified that patch of sacred sand, and we were so happy to just be there, look at him, gaze at him, and soak ourselves in the nectar of his form. When Bhagwan had gone to the temple of Rama in Bhadrachalam, he was welcomed by the devotees and the temple authorities. Since the Sanctum Sanctorum is very small, Bhagwan alone went inside. The other members in the group stayed outside. There are two other rooms in the shrine which are generally not open to public. Those are the rooms where the ornaments that were prepared by Bhakta Ramdas for Lord Rama are kept. Bhagwan was taken to those inner rooms, and Swami asked all the devotees now to tag along. And Swami himself, with so much joy, showed those ornaments of Mother Sita. Bhagwan described the beauty of the love of Ramdas as he decorated his Rama, Lakshmana and Sita with those ornaments. In fact, there are so many occasions when Bhagwan would speak about Bhakta Ramdas. During the birthday of 2008, Swami said Bhakta Ramdas wanted to build a magnificent temple for Rama in Bhadrachalam, and therefore he utilized all the tax money. He was a tax collector, collected from the people for the purpose. And as a result, he was imprisoned by Emperor Tanisha on charges of misuse of state money and was put to great torture. Unable to bear the physical torture, one day he prayed to his Lord Rama, and he even used harsh words. He started telling Rama, "That crest jewel which adorns you, O Rama, do you know that cost me 10,000 gold coins? You are flaunting that jewelry as if it is your ancestral property. You have no clue of what pain I am going through." This is what Ramdasa cried in that moment of trauma when he was being tortured by the emperor, who had no faith and love for Rama until then. But Bhagwan says, the same Ramdas, the very next moment, he realized his folly and he repented and he begged Rama for pardon. "Can a blade of grass move without your will, O Rama? Can I ever do anything if you don't want it to happen?" How foolish it is for us to think sometimes that I have done this, or I have made this, I have built this. Just like for a moment Ramdasa started accosting Rama, Swami says there are several people who think and talk in several ways like this about me too, but soon they will realize and repent their indiscreet acts. People indulge in loose talk because of their delusion and foolishness. But no matter what people say, Bhagwan says, I talk to them and I greet them with love. I don't punish anyone for their indiscreet talk or behavior. They themselves will realize and they themselves will repent. But it is important that people must think twice before indulging in any negative conversation. People pretend to have understood me, but no one can ever comprehend me in the least. Bhagwan says they look at the outward manifestations only. They talk of my programs and activities in the world outside. Just like when Bhagwan was in the physical form, you would think that, yeah, I can guess Bhagwan. You would think that this is how I can catch Bhagwan's attention. This is how I could get a moment with Bhagwan. This is how I could get my thing done with Bhagwan. People fall into this delusion. Swami says they are never able to realize what flows from the depth of my heart, and that is always and always it is only divine love. One day people do realize. But I only wish and work for the welfare of every being on the planet. Everyone should live in peace. And then Bhagwan, in that beautiful discourse, said, even if you don't have any other property, if only you have one property, with that property you can lead a very happy life. And that is the property of love. Love supported by self-confidence. So February 27th and 28th, 1964, of Bhagwan was spent in Bhadrachalam. Bhagwan on the 29th of February was to leave to Hyderabad after lunch. Senior devotees like Umapati Garu, Raman Rao Garu and others were to host Swami in Hyderabad. They had arrived by cars to Bhadrachalam to accompany Swami to Hyderabad. And Swami had asked these guests to be seated in the hall, and Swami said he would speak to everyone. He would give personal interviews to everyone. So Swami called one after another all these groups, including the boatmen who cleaned the vessels. And Bhagwan, the merciful self that he is, he would always fill your palms with gifts. If you do a little for him, he would multiply that a millionfold. As Bhagwan was speaking to these groups of devotees, there was one last family waiting for their turn to go inside for interview. Swami had not spoken to that family and also to one other person, and that was Gantama Garu. As I told you, there were 50 people in the group that Bhagwan took to Bhadrachalam, and Gantama Garu was the 51st person that Swami added in the last minute. Swami had given interviews to everyone except for one group, and then Gantama Garu. Finally, the last family was called for interview, and Gantama Garu was becoming restless. She could not contain the pain that Bhagwan was calling everyone but was not calling her. And so when Bhagwan called that last family, quietly Gantama Garu also got up, and she just started tagging along with that last family. She thought, see, Swami just not looking at me, he's not calling me, I think I should just go in. And as she was stepping into that room, Swami closed the door on her face. And imagine how devastating it was for Gantama Garu. On one hand, Swami had filled her with bliss. Swami had told her, when you go to Bhadrachalam, you'll be filled with joy. And this is what she faces. Swami speaks to everyone in the group, but does not call her, does not look at her. And when she's trying to get in, closes the door on her face. She sat there crying, not knowing what she should do to secure the love of Bhagwan. In 10 minutes, Bhagwan opened the door. Swami had completed that interview. Swami materialized Vibhuti and gave it as prasadam to all the family members. And as Bhagwan stepped out of the room, there was Kantamagaru waiting at the door, and her eyes were closed because there was so much pain within. If God does not want to talk to you, God does not want to look at you, God shuts the door on your face, what can be more humiliating, more earth-shattering than that? And so she just stood there crying. And Bhagwan came to her and Swami said, "Hey, why are you like this? Why are you so sad?" And she didn't say anything. Then Swami smiled and said, "Oh, you're feeling sad that I did not call you. See, I did not see you, that's the thing. So many people, I didn't see you only." And Kantamagaru was saying, in her mind, she was telling Swami, "What is it that you are saying? It is not like a darshan hall, there are just a few people here. I am not a needle that you cannot see me, that you'll miss seeing me. I don't know what to say." And after that, Bhagwan said, "Hey, come inside." So Bhagwan took her inside the interview room. And then Bhagwan started telling her, "See, in a couple of months from now, in April, I'm going to have the inauguration of the new rooms that are built in Vrindavanam." Bhagwan's residence was having three new rooms in the first floor. Swami had taken that old bungalow from the Goginini family, if you know the history of Vrindavan. And Swami was inaugurating this new construction. And Swami said, "Why didn't you come for that function? There is a housewarming ceremony for all those three rooms in April. You also come. We all will stay there." And as a smile erupted on Kantamagaru's teary face, Swami told Nidamurthy Satyam Garu and Achyuta Ramaya Garu, "Why didn't you pack my lunch and get it here?" And so, when Kantamagaru was there in the room, Bhagwan's lunch was brought. And Swami washed his hands. And Swami was then combing his hair, getting ready for lunch. And since it was a very personal moment, Kantamagaru was just stepping out of the room. She felt that is what she should be doing as a lady. And Swami said, "Hey, wait, don't go. And then Swami came to her and Swami showed her the comb that he was using. Swami said, see this, my comb, it's made of iron. Swami referred to his hair and told, "For this forest, we need such type of combs. You cannot use such combs. Your head will start bleeding. But for my forest, I need such combs." And I said, touch it. And she was hesitant. Swami said, no problem, touch. And she saw how the comb had such thick needles. Swami was just making her feel that you are so dear to me. I am so happy to share my personal moments with you. And soon that lunch carrier arrived. And Nidamurthy Satyam Garu, Achyuta Ramaya Garu, they were there. There was the 15-year-old son of Achyuta Ramaya Garu who was also serving Bhagwan. He opened the carriage and a plate was placed. And Bhagwan then took a spoon and Swami served himself those different food items. What did he do? Swami took little of all the items, and Swami made morsels of that. And then Swami gave Nidamurthy Satyam Garu one morsel. Swami gave Achyuta Rama Garu one morsel. Swami gave that 15-year-old one morsel. Personally, he was giving these food prepared by him as prasadam. And Swami said, hey, eat, eat, all of you eat. And then Bhagavan called Kantama Garu also near. And Swami said, you, take this prasad. And then Swami told her, are others getting this chance? Are all the other people who had the interview before, are they getting this chance? Are they getting this chance to spend these moments with Bhagavan in the inner room, when Bhagavan is combing, when Bhagavan is dressing up, when Bhagavan is eating? And then Swami said, I know, you cried a lot. The more you cry for Swami, that much extra bliss you will be rewarded with. The more you cry for Swami, the more bliss you will be bestowed with. See, I told you, in Bhadrachalam you will experience a joy that you have never experienced before. And see the ananda that you are filled with now. And for Kantama Garu, even as she was recalling those moments, there were tears streaming down her cheeks, because she was saying, that was real life. Everything else is just insignificant. Those moments with Swami, those moments were moments when I really lived life fully. You cry for Swami and Swami will fill you with ananda. Her heart was full, and so it was for all the devotees who had this opportunity to be with Bhagavan in Bhadrachalam for 2 full days. And it was, as it was time for Bhagavan to leave, Swami asked them to give him aarti. And so they garlanded Swami. Achyutarama Garu, Nidamurthy Satyam Garu, that boy, all of them garlanded Swami. And there were only these 4 people and Kantama Garu, the only lady. All of them were there. They did aarti to Swami. And even as the aarti was going on, there were only tears. There were only tears in their eyes, because you cannot imagine that this trip is coming to an end. They cannot think that we are not going to have our Bhagavan with us. So quickly that trip has ended. Achyuta Rama Garu and Nidamurthy Satyam Garu, they were so heartbroken that they started howling, Swami, you are going away, leaving us alone. Swami, you are going away, leaving us alone. And Swami said, why do you think I am leaving? I never leave. I am always there. I am in your hearts. If you feel I am at a distance, then I am always at a distance. But if you feel I am in your heart, then I am always with you. I am not going anywhere. Why are you crying? Not going anywhere. I am as close to you as you think me to be, as you feel me to be. And Kantama Garu says, Swami physically can go anywhere, but Swami in our hearts is always permanently stationed. And that is what Bhagavan gave us, that lesson, and that is what we have experienced. Swami asked Kantama Garu, how are you going back to Rajahmundry? Are you going by boat or are you going by bus? And Kanthamma Garu said, I don't know, Swami, I'll have to figure out. Swami said, no. You go along with Achyuta Ramaya Garu. Swami called Achyuta Ramaya Garu and said, see, take her along with you to Rajahmundry. Take her in the boat. Drop her in the boat there, and from there she will go to her place. So it was like a mother taking end-to-end responsibility of every little detail, filling her with bliss and ensuring that all the day-to-day things are also taken care of. And as Kanthamma Garu says, as we stepped into the boats, we just felt like we are dead bodies, because after 2 days of bliss, everything else was so insignificant, everything else was so tasteless. But if you think of those moments, they filled you with evergreen joy. That is how that trip to Bhadrachalam concluded. In fact, on that morning, 29th morning, Bhagwan also visited the Chitrakuta ashram. And then in the evening of 29th, Bhagwan was in Hyderabad. And there were again devotees in Hyderabad for so many programs that had been planned. This trip of Bhagwan had so many scholars and pundits who were part of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. As I had mentioned before, Bhagwan had formed this institution to propagate the sacred tenets of Indian culture in the towns and villages, in the little dwellings, in every nook and corner of South India. This group was holding conferences, workshops, and sharing the message of Satya Dharma, Shanti, Prema. Bhagwan always mentioned that Sanatana Dharma is built on 4 pillars, Vedamata, Bhumata, Gomata, Dehamata. The Vedas are our mother, the earth is our mother, the cow is our mother, and we have our own physical mother. The Vedas, the worship of the earth, taking care of the cow, who is the symbol of service, and revering one's own mother as divine. These are the eternal pillars of Sanatana Dharma, Bhagwan said. And it is this group, this Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha that Bhagwan had formed, which was propagating the message that Bhagwan wanted every Indian to be sensitized with. It was during these times, after Bhagwan had established the Veda Patashala in Prashantinilayam in the early 60s, that Bhagwan toured the length and breadth of especially South India and touched hundreds and thousands of life and sensitized them to the glory of Indian culture. And for the service that this group was doing, Bhagwan would fill them with joy. Bhagwan would make them a part of his entourage whenever he traveled. And Kanthamma Garu was so fortunate to be part of this trip and many other beautiful missions of Bhagwan, which unfolded in the subsequent years, given that she came to Bhagwan way back in 61 and never missed any major festival in Prashantilayam since then. She had the opportunity to watch Bhagwan at close quarters and learn from the lives of stellar devotees. As Bhagwan had invited her, she came to Vrindavan in April 1964 for the inauguration of the Vrindavan new bungalow. There were 20 other devotees who had also come. And when she reached Bangalore by train, Bhagwan sent word that all of them need not stay in the city. They can come and stay in Vrindavan. They can stay in Bhagwan's residence itself. And there was this huge procession from the house of Goginini family, the family who had worked hard to prepare that bungalow for Bhagwan's stay. There was music program by T.M. Soundarajan and party, and through this horse dance, Nadaswaram music programs, the housewarming ceremony of the bungalow happened, and that was how Vrindavan acquired a new charm, and Swami allowed Kantamma Garu to not only stay with him in the residence, the new residence, but also witness the festival of Ramanavami, which was few days away. So for Kantamma Garu, the initial months of 1964 were blessed months when she went with Bhagwan to Bhadrachalam to have the darshan of Lord Rama along with Sai Rama, and then came back to Vrindavan, saw the new house of Bhagwan in Vrindavan, and celebrated again the advent of Rama in the presence of Sai Rama, staying in the house of Sai Rama in Vrindavan. That is the beautiful confluence of the beauty and sublimity of Rama and Krishna, and the joy of living with the avatar. The privilege of coming to him way back in the 60s, and the wise sense of dedicating one's life in his service in entirety. For Kantamma Garu, those initial years with Bhagwan were filled with such unforgettable memories that she just longed to be in his presence at every opportunity, and pined for his grace, longed to serve his devotees and stay in his divine physical proximity. And that is what happened. Bhagwan gave her the opportunity to take care of the South Indian canteen woman's side and blessed her with a room to stay inside Prashanti Nilayam. I have shared with you how that happened. Even now, Kantamma Garu continues to stay in Prashanti Nilayam, reliving those glorious days and inspiring young and old about how to lead a life of loving the Lord, serving the Lord, and being in the bliss of His stories and His glories. Dear listeners, we'll continue this. There is a treasure trove of beautiful memories in the heart of Kantamma Garu, and it will be our endeavor to share a few of these beautiful gems in the coming episodes of this series, Beacons of Prashanti Nilayam, in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share this bliss with you. Sai Ram.
Jagadashraya Shri Raghurama.